Okay. This time I got it right. Super producer over here, dude.
Let's put my hands up like this. I don't. What is going down, everybody? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype. This is episode number 143, and we got an action-packed episode. We got a lot of stuff going on in the hobby. Spectra Basketball is in fuego. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about a Topps fail with Ronald Acuna. We're going to talk about Zion Blockchain. It's going to be a fun show with a lot of topics. Please contribute to the chat. Like I said, there's 142 other episodes you guys can listen to on our podcast network, whether it be iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on all of those, and also they're all on our YouTube channel as well. Lots of stuff going down. We still have a giveaway on Instagram for a free jersey, so check that out. Follow us on Instagram, MojoBreak_com, as well as Twitter, same MojoBreak_com as well. We got breaks this week. New products include Spectra, which came out last week. We're still doing some Spectra. We also have Absolute Baseball. Absolute comes to baseball, and that's going to release this Friday, as well as Chronicles Draft Picks NFL. So we're going to be doing those on Friday with the new release stuff. Dan, what's going down?
That was a lot of talking to start off the show. I felt like Draymond Green in that press conference during the
just with a stuck face.
Yeah, just like the rebooting face, like just staring, like
just your mouth open.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was watching that a couple days ago. Amazing. It didn't get enough press, I don't think.
It's just comedic genius right there.
I mean, he does what was that? Was it 13 or 14, something like that? He, like, you could see it in his eyes that he just basically, like, leaves.
Yeah.
He just leaves the planet and just, and it like
left his body.
It goes like, there's like 5 seconds and you see him like, then you just see him like, I think he stopped breathing.
Yeah.
He just coasted.
I think it was during a finals, right? It was a finals press conference, I think.
It was finals or Western Conference finals.
Definitely when a lot of people were watching.
It was amazing. So like, yeah,
that
I don't know.
You right now.
I don't know. That was me right now. That's what I was basically trying to say. Like, you came in hot. And you got a lot to say, and I was just staring off into the camera, just like rebooting. I was just rebooting.
Hey, we got a lot of breaks today too, so stay tuned after the show. Check out the schedule. More Spectra. We got some Hit Parade. Brand new Hit Parade came out for all three sports. We're gonna be doing basketball, baseball, and football. I want to talk about Zion. Look at Zion looking quite buff. You know, looking in shape, looking like he's not eating Taco Bell, laying off the donuts, ready to play. Man, I cannot wait for this basketball tournament to start. The products are on fire. We want to see what these players can do. What do you think about Zion's physique?
I think he looks in incredible shape, but then again, I always bring back that picture he took with Ja Morant when the season was still in. And I've never been in the camp to think to the one, I was never one to call him fat. So, you know, thick, maybe, but fat, I don't know. That if you look at a picture when he traded jersey with John when they played each other in the season against the Grizzlies, like, he looked pretty. He doesn't look as bulk, like as ripped as he does in this picture that we have on the screen, but he did look in shape.
So it looked like a 10, like Ja was the 1 and he was the 0.
Yeah,
basically.
I don't know, man. That first game out though, that first quarter, he looked like Oliver Miller.
What? Mark Jackson was really laying into him.
Like, yeah, and I mean,
yeah.
Mark Jackson was like not. I mean, go back, and I mean, Mark Jackson probably was like, this couldn't go any worse for me because he ended up going off. Zion went off. He was hitting threes. Everybody was like, he can shoot. It's amazing. And he just puts off like one of the greatest quarters of the season. And, but I look at it. And it doesn't matter what he looks like unless he's performing.
Right.
He better go out there and put up some points, because if he doesn't, people are going to be like, man, he needs to go back to putting on some weight. He's getting pushed around out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So he has to perform. The odds are stacked against him. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have the talent to go against the top teams in the East or the West.
We'll see.
In the
West. I mean, it's a whole.
They're different. In the West, right?
They are in the West.
They're in the West. So they got, I mean, what, the Lakers, Clippers,
not the Warriors.
I think they have. It's like, isn't like two teams ahead of them for eighth place? So yeah, they got some work to do.
I would love to see a first round Lakers Pelicans. I think it would be exciting. I think the Pelicans may be able to steal a game from the Lakers, but it would be fun to see Zion, LeBron in a playoff series.
The hobby would lose its mind. Stained glass LeBrons from Mosaic would be going for like 50 grand. They just would lose their minds.
Well, I mean, and then just the outside chance that the Pelicans knock off the Lakers.
We believe, baby.
Could you imagine what the hobby would do? Would the Zion 101 logo man, would there be a bounty for a milli?
Could be.
Would it go up to a milli?
Could be.
Maybe 10 million.
I mean, imagine the chaos that would happen. Dave.
Call him up.
Famous Dave?
Famous Dave's.
You're looking for some ribs?
Some ribs.
Call up Famous Dave's.
So we've been running through some Spectra. C-Red's had some great success with some Zion pulls. Hit the RPA. What's that number two, C-Red?
25.
25. You can see the little nameplate there, as well as the true gold, the 10. So this stuff's been producing. It's amazing that if you look at prior years of Spectra, it struggled. I mean, we're talking about maybe $200 a box, maybe $300 a box, usually on people's shelves, usually breaks not selling. Us doing breaks at like $19.99 on half cases and people still not filling them. And you fast forward, you sprinkle a little Zion in, you sprinkle a little Jaw in, you change the format a little bit, and now it's a $1,200 box. Mind-blowing. There's actually less hits this year compared to the hits that have been coming out in the last prior years. It used to be a one-pack product with, I think, believe six hits. Yeah. So now you're looking at four hits, but with parallels that are 55 to 75 point that are just literally going insane in price. There's Zion Silvers are rumored to be around $1,000. We're talking about non-numbered silvers out of Spectra. So I think I have, in the next slide, I think I have some prices on some initial sales. So you have a Jaw Silver base Jaw, $686 for a base card, not numbered. Somebody's trying to get damn 18 grand for a one-of-one Steph Curry Nebula. So these prices are crazy. I mean, the demand is there. I mean, we could break Spectra all day long if we wanted to. But what do you think? Do you think Panini intentionally made less of this product to make sure that when they come out with it next year, they're going to run the presses and it's going to be in demand again? What do you think, C-Rab?
I'm in the camp where I think that they were kind of forced to make less Spectra this year because of what's going on. I don't think they set out to make less of it. Like I've been saying for a while now, like we didn't get a lot of it compared to previous years. So that already gave me got me thinking like, oh man, how much less did they really make of this? And then you start seeing the numbering, you're right. Everything's a little bit lower numbered this year, especially the main guys like John Zion. And I think they maybe it was in that period where they just didn't have as much resources to get, back maybe autos or I don't know what, but I don't think they did it intentionally to make less. They didn't do that intentionally.
I mean, it's one of the strategies we've seen in the past where we've seen it with Archives Baseball where they just made a little bit less. And because, usually there's a supply and demand level, and if there's, half the amount made, then obviously there's going to be more demand than supply. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was thinking was happening, because I was like, Spectra is one of those brands they want to make popular. They want it to be a staple brand where every year, because they've tried different things. They've introduced the white sparkles, right, which were cool. They had the big heads, which I thought were just dumb. But, they've tried different things with Spectra. They've changed the format of the cases from 8 to 6. Mm-hmm. They've messed around. They had that extra pack in 13, 14 because they didn't have enough orders for the cards they were made. And it's always been like a struggle to sell Spectra. And then all of a sudden this year comes out and it's like gangbusters. And I know there's the two guys and there's Zion, whatever. But I just feel like, hey, guys, we're going to make a little bit less, and then next year we can make more because everybody's going to bump up their pre-orders.
What do you think of the fact that they the fact that, you know, the base RPAs of all the guys are 149, but then Zion and Ja is like, first of all, Ja is 99, and then Zion, there's only 60 copies of his base RPA.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that makes me think, like, I see what you're saying, especially with the, you know, like, creating the demand for the next few years, for sure. I think that's part of it too, but the fact that there's only 60 Zion RPAs.
Yeah. What do you think, Dan?
You know, I respect you guys. I do. I really do. But on this, you guys are wrong.
Both of us.
Both of you guys.
How can we both be wrong?
You guys are both wrong, and okay. I'm going to explain why. This is why you're both wrong. So when they get these rookies to sign their rookie contract for autographs, there's only so many autographs that they can obtain. When you have three different versions or four different versions or five different versions of every single release, where is that autograph content going to come from? The autograph content that you're getting, the numbers are the same as the previous years, but you're actually having more releases. So you're going to have to put extra autos in this product because there's a secondary, there's a choice version of it, or there's a hybrid version of it, or there's a fast break version of it. Or there's a, did I miss one? I probably missed one. T-Mall. There's, T-Mall. Oh, you get to the international market. Getting to the international. There we go. Okay, so there's even more. There's no more autographs. So you actually see in this release, there's less autograph content than there were in years past. And the RPAs were all numbered to something crazy, like 349. 299, right. 349. I think one year it was 399. Like
149.
149. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with trying to get this brand back and have people pre-order it next year. The pre-orders next year will be determined solely on the hype of the rookie class. If there is nobody to chase, the pre-orders are going to be light. We're not going to look back and go, man, like last year was loaded. I'm going to go through. I'm going to pump up my pre-orders. No, the reason why you're seeing less of it is because there truly is less, because they didn't have the autograph content. And you're probably going to see this with the releases going forward this year.
Well, and I don't disagree with you there, but could it also be a situation where, let's just say the rookie contract signed and it's signed for, let's just throw out a number. I'm just pulling this out of my rear end.
It's going to be etched in stone right now.
But let's just say that their rookie contract is for 7,000 autographs. Well, maybe National Treasures they hit 7,000. So now is that an instance where they have to go to Zion, and now they have to renegotiate. Zion probably knows a little bit better about its market price. Maybe it's got to be higher now than it was preseason. So is that a reason? And I'm truly saying, based on the fact that Zion's less RPAs and Ja's less RPAs. So could those guys maybe necessarily cost more now?
I don't think they're going back to the negotiation table with any of these rookies. I think you got your rookie contract. Now, when they initially made that rookie year contract for autograph content, they may have tried to bump up the numbers more than they did in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they would go back. It would be a bad negotiation tool to go back and be like, man, our products are so hot. Like, we need you to sign more. If they do that, then basically Zion and Ja are going to be like, yeah, my last. And plus, they're probably like, I'm tired of signing autographs. If I'm doing this again, you're paying me double of what you were paying me before. And that is just not going to be profitable for the full year.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, I see that. I mean, is it a situation where do you think – I also wonder, too, like, why was Zion a redemption in Court Kings, but why is he not a redemption in Spectra? So did he, like, refuse to sign those? Did those get printed later? Like, you know what I'm saying, C-Rad? You know, like, so I seen he was a redemption in the last couple products except for NT. So I'm just assuming he's going to be redemption in Spectra, but no, he's live.
Yeah.
So did they like just fly out there and have them sign Spectra? They're like, we'll worry about Court Kings later. So I think that's a question that collectors have. So why, you know, and we don't know the timetable. Maybe Spectra was made before Court Kings and he signed his Spectra, and then the Court Kings is going to get signed later. But like, how do they decide which cards that they know they're gonna have him sign, and which cards they decide have him sign?
And they also get like, again, it goes back to the thing. It's like, if there's only 60 copies, I'm sure they did not intend for it to be only 60 copies of his base RPA. I'm sure they wanted 149 like the rest of the rookies, right? So like, what does that tell us?
Yeah, did he just sign 60 and he's like, I got something to do. Sorry, peace.
Well, what if they basically spaced it out? And he was like, my rookie contract for autographs, and again, I'm throwing numbers out there. Don't hold me to it. But what if it's like, this is my rookie contract. It's 10,000 autographs.
Right. So they
and they're like, okay, they're all okay. So Court Kings, we're gonna put that one on the back burner. We will maybe, like you're saying, renegotiate down the road and try to fill those, but we can't have Zion be a redemption in every product.
That might make sense.
So, cool. We only need, instead of getting 400 autos for Court Kings, we can get 150 autos. Easier to sell him on sitting down and doing 150 autos for us to cover all the parallels.
Sure.
And then he's live in that product.
Right.
Then we'll figure out.
So maybe they're trying to sparingly use the budget of the Zions. And then the Court Kings maybe cost them double, but they have to get them filled at some point.
Exactly. And then maybe they renegotiate on that. But again, you can't have Zion be a redemption in every single product.
Right. Well, I want to move on to blockchain. If blockchain wasn't confusing enough, they threw more confusion onto the mix. So blockchain, when it first came out, there was 100 NT cards across all different sports. They even had soccer cards, Lionel Messi. They had Brett Favre. It was a digital card accompanied with a physical card. It went live on the blockchain portion of Panini's website. So not only do you get the digital assets, you also get the physical assets. So that went pretty well. Cards sold pretty well. Then they reintroduced blockchain as a redemption card into Flawless Football, National Treasures Basketball, and I think that's the only two so far, if I remember correctly. But those are only digital. So at the beginning, when that came out, granted it was a pandemic, it was when Flawless came out, it was right the first month of the pandemic, people thought that those were real cards. So if you looked on eBay, there was some Kyler Murrays that were selling for like a couple $1,000s. Well, it's a digital card, probably a lot of chargebacks, probably a lot of like, hey, I'm going to return this, I'm not paying for this, I didn't know it was a digital card. The person that was selling it probably didn't know it was a digital card. So now they released Prizm blockchain cards back on their site. And as you can see, with one day left, you can buy a Zion Logo Man from Prizm, autograph Logo Man. It's at $115,000 currently. It started at $240,000. Now, this is accompanied by a physical card again. So they went back to the formula they originally started with. So I don't think there was enough press on this. I don't think there was enough, like, hey, let's tell the public, let's see how this works. This obviously is a physical card now, but the people that were getting stuff in Flawless and NT, those weren't physical cards. Super confusing. I have a couple points I want to make, and I want to ask you guys, first off, you guys in the chat or anybody listening to the podcast, what do you think of the blockchain program? Are you guys buying these? Are you buying only the physical ones? Are you buying the digital ones? What's going on with this program? Is it a success? And my second question, this is going to be for C-Rad and Dan, do we have room for another Logo Man? Should there have been another Logo Man of Zion made?
Okay. I'm going to agree with you. I don't like doing it, but I'm going to agree with you. It's a little confusing. I'm confused. I live this. I make a living doing this. I'm confused. I don't know what I instantly looked at that and was like, man, I don't want any part of that. Like, I need the physical card.
Right.
Then you read, you're like, you do get the physical card. Then getting to your second question, flip the table over, all pissed off. Another Logo Man.
Right.
And I think we just got done doing this 2 weeks ago. I was sitting there complaining that Spectra had Logo Mans. We're getting to a point where, like, we're watering down Logo Mans. They're not as special anymore. Everybody gets a Logo Man.
Yeah, it's
everybody.
Logo Man's got to be special.
It has to be special. So now, could you see, like, maybe the sponsorship tags starting to be, like, the more sought after cards, because you do not see those very often?
Could be.
Or could Logo Man start fading away? Because I really feel that, like, we're at a point where they're overproduced. Right. It's almost to the point where Was it Panini or Upper Deck? You can probably help me out. Where they had the manufactured logo mans that were right, on both sides.
Yep. It was a Panini Black Box.
Panini Black
Box. Elite Black
Box. Elite Black. Mm-hmm. I know we're not at that point, but we're trending. In 5 years, could there be player worn jerseys that are just logo mans?
Just
little logo mans everywhere.
Just like the Mark Ingram effect, but just all logo mans.
But think about that. If they basically throw on a jersey and it's player worn and it's at the event and it's worn by Zion, but there's 250 logo mans on it.
I would hope they don't do that.
But I'm saying.
I would hope. Well, here's the other thing, too, before I add my little point onto the blockchain portion. What if Flawless does get a game used logo man of Zion, and it's a one-of-one logo man game used signed rookie? Wouldn't that be technically the one to have? It probably won't still sell for as much.
It would, but I don't know if the I don't know if the industry and the hobbyists and the collectors truly understand the difference between an event used logo man and a game used logo man, and the prices do not reflect it. And that's why I say that, because you could find game used logo man cards and they don't go for as much as you would think they would go for.
Yeah. It's you almost could have the same exact subset and it'd be probably sell the same.
And I think it translates, the game used memorabilia translates to all the sports. Baseball, honestly, like single color relics, a lot of people refer to them as napkins. I don't like that terminology. But those cards should actually get a premium because they are truly game used. And they don't. You see single color relics that are game used and single color rookie premier worn relics, and they actually sell for about the same price.
About the same. Well, anybody have any comments in the chat, C-Rat? Anybody want to contribute to the show? Anybody have any questions?
Flip says game used line of regular cards are going to be the next big thing. A lot of people are saying they don't like blockchain either.
Well, here's my issue with the blockchain as a true collector. If I was a big Zion guy and that's my guy, that is almost the equivalent to me as going fishing in one of those man-made ponds that are like 8 feet by 10 feet, because you just buy it. You can't pack pull this. You could just buy this what you want. This is like going into a forest if you're going hunting and them like putting a deer in an 8 foot by 8 area, and you could easily shoot it, right?
And the deer turns on you and attacks you.
No, I mean, like, you don't have to hunt for this. There's no hunt going on. There's not somebody discovering this in a box. Yeah. Regardless if you buy the logo man from somebody that pulled it, at least somebody pulled it. It got uncovered. We're waiting for it to be uncovered. There's everybody's checking in on the feed on NT. Has the Zion logo man been pulled? Has the Jaw logo man been pulled? We don't know. We're all checking the forums to see if it has. This is just like, all right, it's just, just made. It's like it wasn't pack pulled. To me, that's where it loses its luster. If I was a big Zion guy, I wouldn't want the blockchain. Because it's like, whatever. It's just a man-made card.
I don't know where.
I mean, they're all man-made cards, but you guys know what I mean.
I don't know where you're going for your man-made fishing pond that it costs six figures to get in there to catch a fish. You better be catching some pretty damn nice fish. But yeah, dude, if you got the money. What do you care if it's pack pulled?
Because it's not like it, it's not in a product run where there was 30, 40, 50,000 cards made.
It definitely feels less special.
Yeah, it feels less special. Yeah. That blockchain logo to me says like, I don't want it to me. Yeah. Now and that's just my opinion, of course.
You know what makes you feel special? The fact that you bought it and nobody else did. That you basically had the money to spend it. You'd feel pretty special about that.
Well,
regardless of the pack pulling it, come on.
It's $100,000. You want to drop it?
It's out of my tax bracket. I can't afford that. I mean, it's a very specific market that's going to be our clientele that's going to be willing to spend six figures. What do you think that card goes for?
That was my next question. What do you think, C-Rad?
Is that one what? What was it?
115.
115.
1,000. I think it gets sold around the 70 to 80K range. 70 to 80K.
But could that be considered? And let's say, I think C-Rad's pretty, I think that's pretty good right there, 70K. Mm-hmm. Could that be a quick flip investment?
I mean, the plus side to that is that once the card is in your hand, you could, you know, you don't, you're not seeing just a, like, because that's the digital image, right? So when you do have it in hand, you may be able to, oh, somebody has it in hand, somebody might pay a premium for that.
But I mean, with the playoffs right at the season starting right around the corner,
yes,
you get it in hand. I'm saying, like,
but that's assuming that he's going to be playing well and he's going to be successful at playing well.
You could say that about every single release that comes out and every single Zion card that's purchased on
you
eBay.
You can, yeah, easily. But you're not talking about, like, you know, people that are buying like $4,000 to $5,000 Prism cards. This is, you're going to be spending $60,000 to $70,000, maybe.
But it's the only one. You got the only one. Actually, you got the only Prism version of it. It's not true. The only one.
And it is Prism. It does have the name. It does have the brand.
And I do want to say one more thing about Logo Mans just in general. For me, as like a basketball, like a super basketball collector, the Logo Man, every time I pull a Logo Man, it feels special, right? Every time I pull one in a product. And for me, especially the veteran game use Logo Man stuff. So this is the thing. Spectra has Logo Mans, but they're rookie Logo Mans. And we understand why they're player-worn, because they have not played a game by the time they obtain all this memorabilia, right? I feel like the moment they start doing player-worn veteran Logo Mans, that's when the Logo Man games die.
Yeah.
Because pulling a veteran game-used Logo Man, like, understand, like, it's tough, right, to obtain a game-used jerseys from these players, especially the veterans and stuff. It always feels really special to me when I pull a Logo Man. So when the moment they start doing player-worn veteran Logo Mans, then the game's over. The Logo Mans have no
value. Yeah, like they started doing – I mean, now football's a different game because there's only 16 games, but they're starting to do the veteran Mitchell and Ness stuff. I mean, they're not hiding it. They put the Mitchell and Ness tags in the cards, but – I agree with you. Hopefully they keep it real on that and they keep it game used.
The rookie stuff, I understand. Like I don't feel it's oversaturated yet. It's getting close with the rookie stuff, with the rookie Logo Mans, but keep those veteran Logo Mans game used,
please. Yeah, and what I like about the veteran Logo Mans, you could see the transformation of the actual Logo Man patch.
Yeah.
You pull like a Karl Malone from like the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, or a Barkley from like the same era, or you pull like a Tim Duncan from like, you know, 2008, 2009, you could see the transformation of the jersey and the Logo Man as opposed to the transformation now where it looks completely different.
Yep, that's a cool aspect of it.
So like that is a cool, that's a very cool aspect of it. And I agree with you.
For me, it's literally the best. It's the most special type of card you can get in the hobby, for me personally.
Can you imagine the next, whenever it comes back out, the next Kobe Logo Man?
Oh, God.
You know, because now you know there's a limited supply. I mean, you knew there was limited supply regardless of the tragedy, but, you know, because he's not playing anymore. But, that might be the best-selling. The next Kobe Logo Man might be the best-selling Kobe Logo Man of all time.
I got a question.
Yeah.
There hasn't been, since Kobe's passing, that I can recall, have you seen any Kobe cards?
No.
And we were just talking about that off air, that maybe the estate, well, because now he's not part of the Players Association, right? So the estate probably has to sign off to let them use his likeness, and they may just be in limbo right now. Like, well, who do we charge? Who do we sell to? Who do we let? So maybe a little while before we see Kobe.
What if the estate probably doesn't want to be like
cheap?
Or, no, not cheap, but like they don't want to make it on the optics of it, like, damn, you're selling his likeness already? Like,
that's a good point. But you think there could be a bidding war?
With who? Who's gonna? You think Upper Deck?
I ain't saying any manufacturers, but I'm saying that, like, wouldn't that be a kick in the nuts, huh?
There he goes, Upper Deck exclusive.
You keep on saying.
I'm trying to think of who else would get me. I guess maybe Brian Gray could.
But I'm not trying to speculate. I'm not trying to say the manufacturers. You're doing it for me, actually.
I am.
But I'm just saying, what if there is a bidding war? I mean, that would be I think it would be a financially a terrible play for a manufacturer that's not named Panini.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I mean, those guys do compete against each other. There may be some guys. You got to think that other companies have inquired, obviously. So no decision's been made as of yet. But you got to think some other manufacturers are like, you know, we're going to just drive this price.
You got to think that there is some type of longevity and relationship connection between Panini and whoever.
Yeah, you whoever would think had, that, but you look
but,
at
the, but you don't know.
You look
because,
at what happened with Mickey Mantle.
Because there was absolutely a relationship with other manufacturers as well.
Yeah, there was before, at one point.
At one point, and I'm not throwing out there and saying who they are, but you could probably put it together. Or you could just rewind 30 seconds, and Doug says it like 14 times.
Leave Steiner, Fanatics. No. Speaking of great basketball podcasts, we just did a podcast with the architect, the creator of Exquisite 0304 Exquisite. We take a trip back in time and we talk about everything 0304 Exquisite. To the name originally wasn't Exquisite. It was a different name. So definitely listen to that. It's called Mojo Sessions number 8. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, it's the one right before this. But I wanted to talk about Allen and Ginter Chrome. So we have two releases of Allen and Ginter this year. Topps announced just recently that there's going to be Allen and Ginter Chrome. Okay. I don't know. We're chroming everything. Everything's chrome.
Is it less cards?
You might be able to bring up the format, go to either Beckett or Cardboard Connection, and they have a little preview of what's going on. At this point, it's like, we're just going to chrome everything. We're going to have the triple threads is going to come out, and then we're going to have triple threads chrome, and then we're going to have triple threads chrome sapphire. It's just like, how many times can we just make things shiny? To me, Ginter is not a shiny product. Ginter is a matte finish product. Ginter was associated with the tobacco era of cards. I don't know what we're doing here. Super Fractors look great. I love how that Louis Bobby looks.
Way less cards.
Way less cards. What are we looking at?
4 cards per pack, 18 packs per box.
It's exactly like Chrome.
It's exactly
now,
like Chrome.
Now, I want to know, is there Chrome rip cards?
Ooh, how would you rip a Chrome
card? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
That is a legitimate question.
Those are the only ones I have. I love how I asked it to you guys. You guys don't know. rip cards are a staple.
I know, I didn't think of that.
And Allen and Ginter. Now, I think because the industry is so hot that you're losing some of the creativity.
Yeah.
When it comes to making
products.
Because you got to turn it out. Turn and burn, baby. Turn and burn.
I don't see anything about any rip cards.
Yeah, hard to rip a Chrome card. I'd try though. I'd give it the old college try. But I think what I was saying before, I think we're losing a little bit of that creativity because the industry is so hot and we're in a pandemic. But it'll cool off, and then we're going to start getting some of those innovative ideas where you sit around and you're like, what do we got to do to change it?
Yeah, we need the manufacturers to be a little hungry, right? We need them to go back to the drawing board and be like, not just be like, we need to chrome everything. That's what we're doing this year. Meeting adjourned. We're all going to sit around. We're going to discuss new products. Well, let's just chrome everything. That's 10 new products. The Stadium Club chrome. Oh, and then we can just do black on everything too. So now we got Topps. Yeah. Then we can do Topps chrome black because people like dark bordered cards. It wasn't really any thought process. It was like the double tree. Two trees, double tree. It's easy. Let's just name it that. It was just, there was no thought process in the meeting. And I know we have a 3x5 card, and we're going to have minis in this one. But I know there's only so much you can do with the landscape of a trading card. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, let's try something different here. I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe this is going to be the next big thing, the Allen and Ginter. But, like, to me, Allen and Ginter is not a chrome card. Stadium Club makes more sense. It's a shiny photography-based card. Ginter is a matte-based card.
Yeah,
cards.
They did have the glossy, though.
That was a chase card, but
no,
the base
no,
set,
they had like the Ginter X, which I think had
they had
glossy.
That, the online exclusive. But and then you have two brands on there. So you look at that Lion card. Actually, you look at the Louis Bobby card, and you've got Topps Chrome and Allen and Ginter on the card. So which one is it? Are we Allen and Ginter or are we Topps Chrome? We got to decide. It's you can't have Nike and Reebok on the same shoe, right? I know it's two different companies.
I like the Mitch Hedberg reference. That was actually pretty good. I know you didn't even think about that too. That was like off the dome. That was pretty remarkable. But what you were alluding to it. Like, they weren't sitting in a boardroom talking about this. This is probably
like a week-long meeting where
This is done over Zoom. So, like, we're all, like, or Skype or whatever. I think Cisco has one as well.
WebEx, maybe.
WebEx. But you can't have tons of creativity right now because of nobody's, like, sitting in the same room and nobody is. So, I mean, I kind of get it. You got to come out with products. They're probably going to start getting into the same situation as Panini, where I feel that they're going to start running out of content when it comes to autos and relics. So you may start seeing products that come out that instead of having two autos, it may have one auto.
Right.
Well,
you're seeing that with Select Hybrid and T-Mall and all that stuff, right? There's really no autos in that stuff. So.
Well, and I think what you're seeing with Stadium Club Chrome, it's probably, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's probably going to be one autograph per box. Chrome Black, maybe one autograph. I don't know if it's going to be two, like Topps Chrome, but I think we're just trying to make more products and trying to really capitalize on this boom with the same amount of content as we have had in previous years.
Right.
I mean, right. I don't want to say it, but I think we're basically trying our best to have a junk wax era, but with autographs and relics that are readily available, not like one autograph in every, you know, 10 cases.
Yeah, and if you guys love Ginter and you're going to just jump on Chrome, that's fine. But I think a lot of people think that they're making investments or they're getting in breaks, you're going to hit big. And just there's not going to be stuff in here that's going to sell for a lot. I mean, Ginter is more of a set builder. And take away the rip cards, that was like the whole point of it, right? So what I did was I went on eBay and I was like, well, what's some of the best-selling Ginter cards of all time? Because I know that, you know, they have some crazy Shark Tooth stuff. You know, you get some Easter egg card, like, stuff that they make. So I went on there and I found this and I was like, this is kind of crazy. And I'm like, for one, are they going to put stuff like this in Chrome? But it's a 2012 Allen and Ginter framed mini relic of Kate Upton. And the guy put in the listing, worn bikini. Which I don't know if we can really physically confirm that it's, a worn bikini by Kate Upton. It's a white piece of material for you guys that are listening to the podcast. You're not seeing what's on the screen right now. It's just a white piece, Kate Upton. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to click on this. I want to see what this says in the description. I want to see if this guy could sell me. So he put Kate Upton bikini swatch has been stored in hard case and grade case, Beckett grade 8, 100% authentic. Basically, and this is what he says. This is not me.
But I love actually before you start this, I love how it starts with basically.
Yeah.
So you're in for a treat.
So this is what he wrote in the listing. This is absolutely, I had a really good laugh this morning. I had to bring it on the show. Basically, it never made any sense why the autograph card was worth more than the bikini swatch because Kate Upton is like a certified dime piece who wore that bikini. Even though the signature is more limited than this, I guess, it's like we got to start using common sense here. She's still alive and can pretty much sign anything. But how many people can say they have a piece of her worn bikini? $23,000 her best offer. Wow, a lot to unpack there. First off, dime piece. I don't think I've ever seen that in a card listing. Second of all, worn bikini. Back to that. Now, the back of the Ginter card, which I do not show here, does say swimsuit rookie of the year. So, but it says, you know, not guaranteed. Relic does not give him any specific blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So my money would be on that it's not a bikini that was cut up. But this guy, very creative, basically. So.
Basically. The only way to start that would to start it with the word basically.
That's how you tell a story, dude.
That's how you basically tell a story.
But remember when I don't know what listing I showed in a couple shows ago where I said I needed to be sold? That's what I'm talking about.
So you bought it.
Yeah, I own Kate Upton coming my way. I'm going to snip it all the time. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I did not buy that. I would not buy that. I'm not into that kind of collectible. But anyways, I saw this on Topps. It's Ronald Acuna signing some kind of heritage cards, I'm assuming. It just says, Ronald Acuna Jr. signed some cards this week. And it says, Sigs on Sigs on Sigs. And the photo, and I knew right where this was going, right when I seen it. I knew what was going to happen. I knew the 300 comments. I knew where we were headed. So that if you don't, if you're listening to the podcast once again, it's a bunch of Ronald Acuna cards that are all stacked on top of each other to create a visual effect of a bunch of autographs, right? I knew where this was headed. And I know people say shame on Topps, they should have done this. First off, it's their cards, not your cards. But we'll read some of the comments because I thought they were great. Look at the care these players put into signing. Maybe not the best picture to share. No wonder why every auto I pull from Topps is damaged. Mm-hmm. The next one. These are WBs. Might as well spill a drink on them while you're at it. Completely different.
Maybe he did.
Might as well spill a drink. No, that's not. That, there's moisture on cards now. Another guy. Oh. Go back. That's what it's sound like?
You went. But you are exaggerating. It's going too long. It's just
If I pull one of these, it's sold ASAP. ... Come on, Topps. Take care of your product. Those cards are damaged. Setup is wrong for autos. How do we know they're damaged? They look damaged in the photo.
I don't do a lot of social media, right?
Go
back to the other one, though. I got something. I got a problem.
Okay.
I got a problem with the the ...
Yeah, why?
Why do you got to do that? Like, are you trying to think? Are you trying to think, like, what you're going to type while you're typing it? And you got to put the ... to let everybody know you're actually thinking?
Does that mean a second each dot? So is it like, if I pull one of those, it's sold ASAP. Come on, Topps. Is that what it's supposed to be?
Dude, that's exactly what... I hate that.
Oh,
don't
man.
Do that. And then what's up with the setup is wrong for autos?
Oh, yeah. Actually,
and then just...
Actually, I didn't even unpack it all the way. So let's start from the beginning. If I pull one of those, it's sold ASAP. Come on. Topps, take care of your product! Those cards are damaged! Like, because he went full caps at the end of the sentence. Why did he start in lower?
Actually, everything about that just pisses me off. I'm pissed off with the dots, I'm pissed off with the and then I'm pissed off with the all caps.
But he didn't even, I can understand if it's all caps all the way through. Like, what happened that he had to go all tops the rest of the
way? He thought about it. He gave you seven dots. Seven dots to think about it. Then he just started screaming.
And then, there's some gems. I mean, obviously, he frustrated people.
All right, we can move on.
70% of this. Rob says, this probably explains why my Tatis auto came back as an 8.5.
It doesn't.
How does that explain that?
It doesn't.
How does an Acuna stacked have anything to do with any of your Tatis autos? So much for a PSA 10 in that bunch. Tons of edgeware and bumped corners now, I'm sure. Are you? Are you sure?
Were you there?
Is that happening?
Cody, were you there?
Cody, let me know. And then we've got some more. No wonder they grade so low. Very disrespectful to the people who spend so much money on your product. Losers.
Script, nope. Losers!
Hope you idiots have a lot of replacements ready and can figure out how to stop sending Acuna cards and just have him sign stickers.
Oh!
So I can stop treating cards like they are my collection of 88 tops that are thrown all over my parents' basement from when we were kids. Get it together, Tops. These black border corners should be seeing a lot of 7 and 8s. Thanks as always.
Man.
Like, people were like, we're talking about baseball cards, guys. It's baseball cards. This guy, did you try dunking them in the toilet as well? What does that have to do with anything? We're going to have Ronald Acuna sign, and we're going to just take them to the toilet and dump them in there. Like, thanks for taking care of the conditions of them, Ronald. So Dan's he's going right to the actual. He's talking to Acuna. You should have tagged him in there. And Topps, SMH, scratch my head, mad face.
Yeah. I think it's shake my head, right?
No. Oh, yeah, shake my head. That's right.
Scratch my head. You got head lice?
Scratch.
I don't think it's
No, I thought like scratching his head is like trying to figure it out.
No, I think it's shake my head, but
can we get a confirmation in the chat?
I don't
SMH is shake my head.
Yeah, scratch my head. But I don't think
that went
so.
My whole year. So and LOL's not lots of love. It's not
lots of love.
Scratch my head.
My mom actually told me she thought it was lots of love for a while. This was years ago, but
man, it's getting hot in here. I'm starting to glow. Starting to glow.
Don't need a suntan anymore. I'm just saying. I don't think it's right that they showed a picture of that. But I'm not going to take the time out of my day to write something like this. I could care less, because the possibility of pulling an Otto and Heritage are very slim to none anyway. None of these people are going to have one of those in their collection. And if they do, they're going to forget about this post, and they're going to show off their Acuna because they're so proud of it that they're not going to remember that when they showed the previews of it 6 months before it came out, that they were all up in arms about how the corners were dinged. It's like, we don't know the corners were dinged. Why do you have to write that?
What are your
thoughts?
Is that your take?
That's my take.
That's your take.
WBs, man. WBs.
Okay. C-Rad, you taking it, or am I going to take it?
You taking it.
All right. Okay. Tops should know better. They should know the amount of backlash by posting a photo on social media. Now, there could be a reason for it. 300 comments, even being bad comments, is still 300 comments.
True.
So that gets people clicking, looking, and they're going to see the manufacturer's name. So they may have been smart enough to be like, we know this doesn't look good, but it's going to get people all pissed off and riled up on the old Twitter machine Instagram or whatever.
How do you top it? Do you light them on fire next?
So, but I think the Acuna wasn't – I've seen how these players sign cards, and they were doing it pretty much if you sit there and you're signing cards – and you're doing them one at a time, where are you supposed to put them? Like you have probably 250, 300 cards that you're rocking through a little shoebox here, right? So you're signing them. They're going to have to go somewhere. You're probably seeing what I'm doing here.
Right.
Like, you got to sign them and put them somewhere.
Yep.
Now, what I have seen is somebody usually could be helping the player, and they're like
facilitating
and moving them out of the pack, right. but they're doing it so quick that they're gonna have to keep it, the momentum running. They're not gonna basically do this, sign it, and then be like, okay, get me the done box, I'm gonna put that nicely in there. And then these players honestly don't know, or I hate to say it, care what the value of this card is. They don't. I wish I can say, and that's probably for the majority. There's some of them out there who truly probably do care about the card, especially players who collect or collected at some point. But a majority of these players are trying to, they have about an hour to get through these 250 cards. They're going to do it in a timely manner that works for them.
Yeah.
Tops should know better to not post it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and we've seen the video with Phil Hughes. We were talking about that in the last podcast, where Phil Hughes is going to be in archives and he was showing the process. I believe, if I remember correctly, I have to watch the video again, but I believe there was something on the package that said do not stack the autos, or if you do, you have to wait like 10 seconds. And I think he counted it. He's like, one, two. He signed it, because if you stack them on top of each other, then you're going to have smearing and you're going to have bleed through. So if Ronald Acuna read that, he's like, I can't stack them, so I'm going
to
just...
You're basically doing this, and you're just like... They need to go somewhere, and you can't stack them on top of each other.
Right.
So he technically was doing it the correct way. Now, having somebody there with him to basically pile them up and put them in the done box would probably be the best thing to do, but maybe he didn't have somebody there.
It may not have been witnessed. I mean, we're in a pandemic. I don't know. They may just be – they like to be there to witness signings, but at this point, they're not.
I don't know – what the end game was with the post for Tops. Like, if they're sitting there right now going, I can't believe people are up in arms about this. I don't think that's the case. I think they know. I think it actually was meant to, you know, again, when you're getting 300 comments on a post, that's interaction.
That could be the
reason. That's interaction. And that's basically what you're trying to do from a business standpoint when it comes to social media.
True. I could see that. How many spots we got left in that next mixer?
Still six teams left.
Six teams left, guys. Are there any comments in the chats that we could share?
Jeff says when Panini sent cards to his buddy to sign in 2016, they just sent two big pig boxes in a Ziploc bag markers, and there were brief instructions, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And that's basically, that goes along with what we've seen at events as well.
Yeah.
Now, when you're doing the live event, there's usually enough staff on hand to facilitate and help out with.
Yeah, rookie premiere, there's usually Panini grabbing the cards.
Yeah, there's, I mean, they have enough hands on deck where they have people helping out and, you know, facilitating and packing up the finished product.
I love the sticker argument on the wand, because you start doing high-end products like Triple Threads and people, I can't believe it's all stickers for a $700 box. Why is there stickers? And then you got people saying, oh, the corners are damaged. I wish they were all stickers. It's like, we got to make up our minds here. We got to pick our battles. Is this a battle we need to pick? Do we need to go on Topps' Facebook and complain about possibly damaged corners on cards that you're never going to probably have anyway? They're not even your cards. We don't even know if Topps is putting these in product.
That is true. Like, Topps' cards. And that's something that we actually didn't even cover when it comes to this. This is Topps' product. They paid for that signing. They basically paid for that card to get produced. It's their product. They may not that could be employee giveaways.
Could be.
That could be employee bonuses. We don't even know if those cards are going to be put in the product. We don't have that. We didn't pay for them. They're not our cards.
That's what somebody said in the chat too.
It's Topps' product. It's they're paying for the signing. They're paying for the cards.
Well, I love the social media aspect of looking for the flaws. Now, these same people, they have a feed. We all have Facebook feeds. We all see people, like, you know, people posting their kids, people posting their food, people posting their new car, people posting their new house. Do these same people go on there and, like, say somebody posts, like, their lasagna? I cook lasagna. Well, looks like you burned the cheese.
Lasagna.
Terrible. Wouldn't eat it. Terrible.
Lasagna.
They don't do that. They just go to companies and they do it. So there's people that work at Topps. You don't think about that kind of stuff. There's people behind that. There's people that are reading your comments and be like, what the hell? I thought I was doing something artistic by putting this out there, promoting the brand. Do you go like, oh, you know, somebody's taking a picture with their wife. Oh, look, you got something on your shirt. Or, oh, your shirt's still a little wrinkled in that photo there, buddy. Do you do that? No, they don't. They go to Topps. They go to Coca-Cola, whoever, these big companies, they complain. Like, why? Why do you waste your time complaining over stupid crap like this? Now, I know some people are complaining about not getting their products or not getting redemptions. I know that's old, but that is like a little bit more of a legitimate excuse to complain other than a product that, like, in this situation where you may not even ever own this card. You may not ever own this card. You're complaining about it. It's just like,
That lasagna looks terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
how can you eat that? dot, 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 dot.
Twitter account, so they took the picture. Why couldn't that person help staff?
Well, we don't know who was there in the room. It could have been Ronald Acuna's picture sent to Topps. They could have said, hey, Ronald.
Hey, yeah, we're in a pandemic right now, so part of the agreement, nobody from Topps is going to go down in person.
Yeah, it's not necessarily.
So part of the agreement may be like, hey, Ronald, when you're signing these cards, can you have somebody or yourself, like, send a picture of the cards being signed? Yeah, that's what happened. That is 100% what happened.
Probably what happened. Now, no, I understand the optics of it. It maybe shouldn't have been posted, but yeah, do we all have to jump on him for this? I don't think so.
That's what Dan's been saying. Like, they probably shouldn't have posted it, but yeah, the reaction is hilarious.
Well, again, we don't know why they posted it.
Yeah.
If they posted it knowing that they were going to get a ton of interactions with it, then that's why they posted it. Why, again, there's no such thing as bad press.
Right.
And again, it's their product.
Yep. Well, that's all we got for the show today. We've got some mixers coming up. We have some Hit Parade coming up. We have more Spectra coming up. And then to stay tuned this Friday for brand new Absolute Baseball. Interested to see what that one's all about, as it's a standalone now. It used to be in Chronicles. Now they're doing Absolute on its own. And we also have Chronicles NFL Draft Picks, was using popular designs, incorporating it in Joe Burrow's Tua. So check that out this Friday. And that's all we got for the show, guys. Thanks. Peace.
Peace.
They have an absolute, right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, way back. Like 2008.